Today on Real Life Radio.
It's time to stop whining. It's time to get serious about Jesus. It's time to press into him. Because the time will soon be upon all of us where our houses will be tested. Our faith will be tested. That is not a bad thing. If you trust Christ and if you know his word, you're going to fare well.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Relevant Christian, Part 3 begins in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 21. Paul wrote his epistle to the church at Philippi during an imprisonment in Rome. Before Paul's conversion to Christ and the gospel message, we need to remember who he really was and what he did. Even as a young man, Paul was given authority. He was a top student and a high achiever. He also had an intense personality. And being a Pharisee, he strongly persecuted those who were preaching Christ. But the very Jesus he opposed became his reason for living. Today, Pastor Jack shares Paul's warning against pride and envy. There were those who strived against Paul to promote themselves. Selfish ambition corrupted their hearts. But even in strife, the gospel was still being preached. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles, church, and turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians 1. And I know that we've been in Philippians 1 for a long time. I know that. We're in no hurry. I'm planning on Jesus coming back during chapter 1. I hope he comes back today. But it's, you know what? These verses, of course, anything that the Apostle Paul writes, you've got to marinate in it, because not only was the guy obviously brilliant, and we know that from even extra-biblical writings, the guy was an absolute genius. The Roman Empire makes mention of this. Judaism makes mention of the brilliance and the appetite for Saul of Tarsus, whose instructor was the noted Gamaliel, the great philosopher and instructor in Judaism, that they themselves admit that they've never had a student like Saul. A man who, in the Bible, it says that regarding his ability to grasp and to argue and to debate, was second to none. He was number one in his class. He was a Pharisee. As a young man, he was given tremendous authority, even to the point where the council in Jerusalem gave him, the Pharisees, that is, ordained him to be the man responsible to keep Christianity at bay or destroyed. He was the one dispatched with the authority to assemble people to go and levy out destruction and trouble against the church. And of course, you know the story. He got converted. He became a Christian. The very thing, the very one that he opposed, wound up becoming his very reason for living. And for the next several weeks, as we have in the last past few weeks, we're looking at a multiple part message entitled The Relevant Christian, because what we learn about Paul is that no matter what situation you're in all of life, there is a joy to be had in life that is not of this world. Thank God. You can't take a pill. You can't drink a drink. You can't blend it. You can't use any human mode or method to gain the joy that God gives to a believer that turns their attention upon the Lord and what he offers. And it doesn't matter in Paul's life if he's in jail or not. It doesn't matter if he's being beaten or not. It doesn't matter. The mission stays the same for him. Nothing changes. Single vision on what it is to be a Christian. We need this today, church. We need this more than ever. I do believe that the time is upon us and it's going to increase, that we will be brought by God's grace, by God's appointment, to such a focus. All of us, I believe that. I believe if you think that things are going to get easier in your Christian life, you're dreaming. It's going to get, I can't even say it right. I was going to say it's going to get worse, which is going to cause us to focus. But listen, it doesn't get worse for the Christian. But Jack, what if it doesn't get worse for us. The opportunities open up more and more. The darker it seems to be getting, because of the light, because of the truth that we have within us, the greater the opportunity for us to share. If I was speaking to a bunch of guys at a retreat, I'd say it's time to buck up. It's time to stop whining. It's time to get serious about Jesus. It's time to press into him. Because the time will soon be upon all of us where our houses will be tested. Our faith will be tested. That is not a bad thing. If you trust Christ and if you know his word, you're going to fare well. God is preparing his bride. And all of this is under that title that we're looking at, the relevant Christian. Listen, I want to read two passages of scripture to you. I'd love for you to write it down in your margins of Philippians chapter 1, between verses 15 and 21. Will you write these verses down, if you would? Because in my opinion, it really supports what we're going to be hearing today. Romans 1, 38, Paul writes to the Romans, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing." In my Bible, I have "me" written down next to "created thing" because I put myself in there. "Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's love and salvation for you is sealed up in Jesus. And then 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. "For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." I love this. "I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day." Two awesome passages, you guys, where the apostle says, listen, because nothing can separate me from the love of God. I'm secure. Life or death, angels, demonic powers, even myself, I cannot be separated from the love of God. And that is such a powerful reality in my life, he would say, that for this reason, I stand firm because I've been absolutely, without a doubt, persuaded that God is able to take my life all the way through to the end. And he will not drop me off along the way. He won't fail. And church, that is good news for us. That's something that we need to remember today, especially in light of the fact that all of us are human. Remember that? We're human. We have a tendency to look at the great apostle, Paul, and think of him to be superhuman. Please listen. And I hope today, listen, I hope today none of you are offended just for offense's sake. I hope that if anything is said today, that it pricks your heart to dig deeper into the truth, okay? Paul was a human who needed the same encouragement that you and I need. He was susceptible to criticism. And listen, he was attacked because he stood strong. Anybody standing strong is going to get attacked. And but you, when that happens, you got to figure out, what's it all about here? What am I doing this for? Am I doing this for to prop up my name and gain some notoriety? Or is it the fact that I'm standing for the truth and it's under attack and I can't change that? There's a big difference, you know. And Paul stood for the truth. And in standing, he completely trusted the Lord. Remember, Paul was in prison for standing for the truth. All he had to do was say, "Caesar is Lord," he could get out. Oh, by the way, in Iran, they gave Saeed that option. Did you know that? Just say, "Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet, and we'll let you go. You can go home." He won't do it. Listen, what about you? What if you and I were brought into that moment and they put a sword to our neck and they just said, "Deny Jesus and say that Allah is Lord"? What are you going to do? This is happening in real life, according to VOM.org, Voices of the Martyrs, that there are more people being killed for Christ now in 2014 and 2015 than any other recorded time in human history. All they have to do is say, "Allah is God and it's good." They won't do it. Why? I would argue today that maybe they've either learned something about our God that we have yet to learn, or this is what I do believe, that when in the moment of trial comes upon our lives, our God not only steps up, he steps in. Amen. And God distributes grace to his kids that in the face of death itself, they're able to pen songs like, "It is well with my soul." Or, as we'll hear from Paul today, "Whether I live or die, it's Christ." So today we look at rejoicing in the face of everything. Rejoicing in the face of everything. In chapter 1, we've been looking at recognizing what's under our skin as believers. We've also realized the centrality of our mission, that we're Christians. That hardship and difficulty is going to come, but God loves us. The truth about us is not what you see on the outside, but it's the gospel on the inside. And so today we look at rejoicing in the face of everything. Verses 15 to 21, Paul says, "Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambitions, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains." I'll explain this in a moment. "But the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel." What then? Verse 18 says, "Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance." Through your prayer and the supply of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectations, verse 20 says, "and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body." Listen to this. "Whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Okay, I've said it often before in other studies when this verse came up. I'll say it again. How do you stop somebody like this? Rome put him in prison to shut him up. That didn't work. God had a plan. God wanted the Roman guards to hear the gospel. So what did God do? God had his mouthpiece get arrested. Now the great apostle's preaching to the prison guards. They're getting converted. We know from other portions of scripture, book of Acts for one, that there are those who are of the guards that have been converted and some within Caesar's household. Hello! This is Nero we're talking about. The famed Nero. By Paul being arrested, not only were his Secret Service detail guards getting converted, but some within the very home of Caesar himself were getting saved. Ladies and gentlemen, no despot, no Pol Pot, no Saddam Hussein, no you name it, no Vladimir Putin can stop the gospel. Amen. It doesn't know any barbed wire. It doesn't know any Iron Curtain. No Great Wall of China can keep the gospel out. God just steps right over it, as I said a few weeks ago. Just sees that big wall, steps right over it. And the gospel changes lives. And listen, why? Think about it right now. Why would Paul be in prison? He's a threat to the kingdom. He's a threat to the empire. Why would thousands of other Christians around the world be imprisoned for being a Christian? Why? Because they're a threat to dictatorships. Pretty sad when America now begins to practice the dictatorial acts of totalitarian nations by arresting believers for their conscience, for their faith. But God's going to use that. God is using that. I just find it interesting. God's word is getting everywhere. And so in the face of all that, what kind of God are we serving? And what is he going to do with us? We're serving the all-loving God, the all-sacrificial God, who Jesus once and for all, my friends, the book of Hebrews says, no matter what you've seen this week on the news, no matter what you've seen on TV, Jesus's body has not been offered up again all week long as you've been watching. The book of Hebrews says Jesus suffered once and for all on the cross, and he rose again never to suffer again. Amen. Jesus. And he wants people to be with him in heaven. And in light of that, mark this down. Look at verses 15 to 17. The word, the Lord, Paul, is inviting us to rejoice in the face of everything because, listen, opposition has its purpose. Just because you're being opposed, rejected, maybe even mocked and ridiculed, mark it down. Rejoice, because opposition has its purpose in your life and in my life. He says, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. You say, wait a minute, what's going on? Mark that down. You guys, Paul's in prison, and what's happened is there's been a group of self-proclaimed ministers that have stepped up in Paul's absence, and they're proclaiming, watch, they're preaching Christ, but Paul says they're doing it from envy and from strife. Now, pause right there. The church does not need to fear Islam or communism or capitalism or communism or dictatorial. The church doesn't have to worry about that. You know the biggest thing? What's been the biggest problem to the church in history has been this, the church. The church has been its biggest problem, the church being Christians. This is exactly what's happening here. Paul is going to show us that whoever these people are, and some, you know, I'll tell you right now, scholars disagree. Some scholars say these are super immature, legalistic believers that are intending to do Paul harm because of envy and jealousies, or they're Judaizers, which means they demand that the law be kept. They're not saved, but they're masquerading as Christians and they're trying to pollute people. I actually believe this regarding who these people are. I believe that they're immature, carnal believers. I want you to think about that for a moment. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying, that the church has inflicted its greatest wounds from itself. We know in other parts of Scripture that the Bible warns us that if we're carnal, we will criticize and devour one another with our words. You know, we're prone to do that. Isn't that terrible? Isn't the church a mess? A lot of people think that a church is, you know, I'm not going to go there. It's a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah. Yeah, and if you show up, you'll just be adding to the ranks. The church is full of sinners. Did you know that? All you have to do is take people on a fishing trip, church fishing trip, biggest boat of liars. Oh man, did you see how big that thing was? It just got off my hook right when I got it near the top. How big was it? It's like that big. Or he hurt my feelings. Those things go on. What is happening here? Opposition, most painfully, comes from within. And Paul says there are those who are preaching Christ. The amazing thing about preaching Christ, check it out, you guys, that whatever they were saying the actual gospel, the resurrection from the dead, they were teaching and preaching the true word of God. But Paul says their hearts are corrupt. You listen to this. This is very serious. This is going to cause us to look at ourselves. The Bible warns us that as they preach this exact same gospel, that there's something very wrong, that inside of them there is envy. What is envy? Envy is internal, everybody. It's inside first. You'll never know if somebody is envious on the outset. Because why? Because envy is on the inside. Envy is jealousies. Jealousies about what a person has. Someone else has something you either want, you don't have. Somehow, what they've got, you see yourself not having it, and you want that. And you look at, it's like, it's almost like you meet somebody, hey, how are you doing? And you look right past them and you see their car, for example. Oh man, that guy's good. I'd like to have that car. And then you might, well, so what do you do? Oh, and you're thinking, well, how does he afford that car? You see, your mind starts going, well, what's the deal on that? I should have a car like that. And then you start looking at his shoes. And then you start, it never stops. You see my point? It never stops. You start looking, and then you, whoa, so where do you live? You live there? It may never be detected on the outside at first, but it's seething on the inside now. Envy. Jealousies. What happens next when that begins to happen? Strife. Strife is the outward manifestation of internal jealousies. Strife begins to create friction between the person that you're envying. It's rooted in pride. He has, why don't I? You see? I view him in such a way. I want people to view me like that. Pride. It's one of those, of course, horrific sins of the Garden of Eden. Eve saw that if she ate of the fruit, she could have. And there are those preaching the gospel in Paul's day that became, as it were, his enemies, but Paul didn't view them that way. He says they are envious and they strive. They're in the church, but they war with people, always trying to get a leg up or a rung up, as it were, on the ladder. And they'll find people that are maybe being used by God, and they'll try to discredit them. They were trying to discredit Paul by doing that. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, that love suffers long and is kind. Love. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. But they're striving now. It's amazing. So Paul's in jail, and these guys are thinking, hey, you know what? We don't like Paul. And if you were to ask them, why don't you like Paul? Well, because he's more famous than we are. Well, okay, but do you want that kind of fame? He's in jail. Well, yeah, it's okay. I mean, he's in jail, but as long as he's in jail and we're out, we want his fame. We want his influence. Have you ever looked at somebody's ministry and wondered why it wasn't yours? Listen, pastors are grotesquely polluted with this thing of, well, how big's your church? I don't like going to pastors' conferences. I mean to tell you right now. And that's not everybody, but when you're talking to somebody, and I'm a very bad guy. I often take because of this, because I just feel, you know what? I just feel like a cheap piece of meat sometimes. I take my name tag and I put it on upside down. You know, or I have it wrong, it's sitting wrong. Why? Because people won't know you. You're with a couple thousand pastors. And so, hey, how are you? Hey, and they're going like this. So, what's up? Are you taking this workshop? And listen, I've watched this happen. If a pastor's got a small church, oh, yeah, oh, hey, we'll see you later, okay? Oh, yeah. And if you got a big church, oh, hey, you know what? Hey, can I ask you some questions? As though what? As though that is success? No. Can I remind you that a man that I love and adore and read him all the time, A.W. Tozer, had a church of 150 people? Yeah, Charles Spurgeon had a church of 20,000 people. Love them both. That's God's business. But to look over at another man's vineyard or to look at somebody else's life and say, hey, you know what? And with envy and strife begin to undermine them. It's bad enough, but when it happens in the house of God, it's horrific. And it happens in ministry, and it's wrong, and it makes God sick. James, in James chapter 4, verse 1-3, James warns us that all of these quarrelings and fights and arguments, they come from within us. He says that it comes from wars that are taking place within us. We war and we scheme and we kill and we don't have these things because of jealousies, which winds up dividing us. In verse 3, he says, even when you ask, you don't even get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So these guys are trying to undermine Paul's ministry and prop up themselves, and they want the notoriety without the cost. Listen, they want to have Paul's effectiveness without the learning.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Relevant Christian. Thanks for listening today. Our hope is that you, like Paul, have joy in all of life's circumstances and you'll have a sincere desire to spread the gospel wherever you go. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as the body of Christ, we all have our talents and gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. And as we face challenges and setbacks, we need the right tools to help us along the way. That is exactly where we can help. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app for your smartphone or tablet is designed to give you on-the-go access to scripture, devotions, all sorts of media, along with all kinds of topics and speakers that you can tap into. Also, a lot of videos on prophecy and important news updates that really matter to you. So, when you need a little break from the chaos of this world, you can stay on course with all that Pastor Jack has to offer right there at your fingertips. You can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app through the App Store or from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.